大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把到大内去，三月就到过去去了嘛，将就把到大内。大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把到大内。大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久，做了很久，三月就把人就，大约就是这个做那么久， 신 지금은 쉬어야되다 먼저 개화 개화 간에 제베인의 소수기다 지게 대바 다는 삼반남다 혼의 제바 개화 제베인다 지게 야지한테 개화 세야다 야 개화디 근데 누가 침부 차그래 중요 차그래 세야디 곧또 먼저기 디 셈너랄이 고레스 셈기 혼의 대바 한 숙침보다는 지게 제베인다 얘네 디바디 안티케와디 니바 쳔보 차고르와 지나다 디바로 시네나 디바 쳔보레 중우르에 세야디 셈미야 군노니모 아네 지게 되샤 시랑아지 슈체네 체와지네 아네 지길 자와두바네 디바 체와레 니네는 니네기 메바이네 데스 디바로 시네 중우아 체고르와 니네 인상한도 기신 갈슈오레스 인상한도 기 개와로 치강 제 소소 라산남다 토네 디바디게 강 뉴뉴타야다 개와디게 강 두두치
Good evening. And last time we spoke about how every action we do leads to a karmic result, and whether that action is virtuous or not virtuous depends on the mind motivating that action. So whether it's a mental action or a verbal or a physical action, whether it's virtuous or non-virtuous, depends on the mind motivating that action. And then similarly, the strength of that, the karmic result or the karmic seed that is accumulated from that mind, that is dependent on the strength of the mind. So in other words, if the mind is particularly afflicted, if there are strong afflictions present, then whatever action one engages in will create a powerful non-virtuous karmic seed. Alternative, or the opposite, of course, is if the mind is dominated by virtuous minds and has a pure motivation, then the karmic seeds that will be accumulated will not only be virtuous, but they will be powerful. So therefore, we spoke last time how we must really try and bring. Therefore, last time we spoke about how to keep that we need to keep be mindful of our mind, and try to prevent all non-virtuous minds as soon as we see them to try and eliminate them, and then whatever we engage in to do so with a virtuous mind, in particular a mind motivated to be of benefit to others, in particular motivated by an altruistic mind. So tonight we'll continue from where we were last time, near the top of page
125. Kangba Yakucha Mena, Yanja Sugyo Naji,
Last time we also spoke about the need to engage in confession and purification of whatever faults we may engage in. And so this maybe can be likened to if we are going to construct something, for example, if we're going to build a home, but it can be related to anything. If we don't build the home with good materials and in a wise way, in a way that is going to produce the result well, then the result is going to be poor, and we're going to end up having to break down the house and reconstruct it. So it's the same with whatever activities we engage in. If we don't do them well the first time, we're going to end up needing to do them again. So how that relates here is if we engage in something but under a non-virtuous motivation, then we are going to have to re-engage again. In other words, we're going to have to purify what we've already done. So therefore, we should rather try and engage with a virtuous motivation from the outset. Similarly, with the analogy of building a home, if it's not built well in the first place, it's not going to improve from its own side or improve by its own magical power. If we build a home and we don't build it very well, we got a badly constructed house, and it's just going to degenerate and get worse. It is not going to improve. And in the end, we are just going to have to break it down and reconstruct it. So similarly, if we engage in negativities and we have non-virtuous karmic imprint on our continuum, then they are just going to be there, and they're going to eventually ripen in a suffering result, in an unwanted result. So therefore, it's of course best not to engage in non-virtues, but when one does, because of course we still do, then one needs to, as soon as one is aware of it, apply the four opponent powers and purify them immediately. Because if we don't do that, and those negative karmic imprints remain on our continuum, they will undoubtedly ripen one day. Whereas if we purify them, then they won't be there to ripen any longer. So this can also be likened to a gardener who plants something, and if they care for the plant well, then one day it will ripen into something beautiful. So similarly, if we care for our mind well, then the virtue that we accumulate will dominate in terms of our experiences, whereas the non-virtue, we will be accumulating far less, and what we do accumulate, we will be purifying.
And that didn't ma shuyati didn't shuyati kare shu kare kor shu yare lam na ta kesi ngando chik tam ta tibo ma che tibo ig lega ro chi ma che rang che cha cho ro da ro da one pe ne chik kare che na chik che go ya ro chi ma che na chik ma che ga cha cho ro tibo kare tibo lega ro chi tibo lega ro chi 제가 모두 탑세네 제거해 차거로 와다 제거해 차거로 와 되네 제거는 삼는 가능성 땅 거래
그러니까 디펜던트 다그런성 땅잖아
심지어 소주로 제나 땅 심지어 소주 제마초로 와다 이제 진 디바여 라이거로 와 딱 디바여 나다 제마초나 아니 인지 민지 제거해로지 내가도 제거해로 뒤로 와다 제 첨부 시기를 제거해로지 되네 제나 안 딱 심지어 소나 디부 차거래 안다데 삼는 가능성 시고래라나 디부 모양게 탑람로 가려라람 다디 삼나 디니스 땅고레스 삼나 땅나 디니스 땅베이네 디바디 용무 마레스 디바 충주 마데 예나 충주 마데 용무 마레세 온디스고 디고 쉬야레 다디니 마
되네 이 패턴 잡하거나 점점 아주 배나 인증인 식센스 식세거데 되네 디 세는 아주 딕베삭 이네 아주 삼물 땅땅 아 칸스 교예당 되네 딕베데 눈 눈을 사게데 So we've now reviewed what we looked at last time. So tonight we are coming to a different section within this presentation on karma. So sometimes we do need to engage in non-virtue. So or let's put it another way. Sometimes we can't avoid but engaging in non-virtue. So how can we think about the think in that time, at that moment, so as to reduce the amount of non-virtue? So, for example, there may be an occasion where one has to kill another living being. And so to try and make that non-virtuous act as weak as possible, to try and eliminate the power of that non-virtuous karmic seed we're going to accumulate, what can we do? What way of thinking can we apply? So that's what we're going to be looking at tonight. All of us here, without exception, not just here but everywhere, we don't want to experience any kind of problems or sufferings at all. We only want to experience happiness. We want our mind to be happy, we want our body to be healthy and comfortable. But yet, sometimes it seems like only the opposite happens. And we just meet, we have a lot of mental anguish and a lot of mental problems. And physically we may be having illness upon illness. Before one illness heals, another one seems to inflict us and the like. And this often seems to be how it goes, that in our life, we, whilst not wanting to have problems and difficulties, we seem to continuously experience them. And whilst we really only want to experience happy situations and things to go well and things to turn out how we hope they will, it doesn't always turn out that way, and sometimes, quite often, it seems to not turn out that way. So, why is that?
This
actually depends really directly on our way of thinking. Because if our way of thinking is in a wholesome direction, then things tend to go well, and we tend to be healthy, and we encounter less problems. Whereas if our way of thinking is more in an unwholesome direction, we then seem to encounter so many more mental problems, so many more difficulties in our life, as well as experiencing physical ill health. So now we'll look a little bit at what type of mental habits to develop and engage in so as to encounter more good circumstances, and what kind of mental habits should we abandon and turn away from so as to not encounter these unwanted difficulties. To illustrate this, there's a quotation at the top of page 125. I'll just read it quickly for those who don't have the book. If a root is medicinal, so are its shoots. If poisonous, no need to say its shoots will be the same. What makes an act positive or negative is not how it looks or its size, but the good or bad intention behind it. The meaning of this verse is quite clear. If the roots of a particular plant are poisonous, then the trunk, the branches, the leaves, they too will be poisonous. If the roots of a particular plant are medicinal, so too will the trunk, the branches and the leaves, they will also be medicinal. So similar to this, our way of thinking directly impacts on the kind of karmic seeds that we will accumulate, and therefore the results that we will experience. So if our mind is particularly afflicted and dominated by attachment or by anger or by ignorance, then these minds are like poisons, and from this only suffering will come, only harmful results will come, unwanted results will come. However, on the other hand, if our mind is a mind that wants to be of benefit to others, a mind that wants to be of good in the world, then such a mind is like medicine. So from such a mind, only virtuous karmic seeds are accumulated, only happy results will follow. So in other words, if we engage in acts of body, speech and mind with a mind that is virtuous, with a mind that is wholesome, a mind that wants to be of benefit, then we will will come to experience results where we aren't meeting many problems, where we are physically well, and we are mentally happy.
Mm-hmm. Kongroji Lanji Shenlia Milia Kishi Shevena, Namjur Ten Kishevena, and Jika Ndigi Kong Lanji Milia Namjur Ten Kisheva, the Jebo de Karangure Labna, Paja Midigan to the Gemisho Marwana, Ravana to Kong Lan, don't know what I'm called Kishin, Kuya and Gemisho things to go with Jimarwana, and the Digi Lake Dumri, the Kaligorsen, then Paja Diga don't know what to enter, Nitin and do it, Kuya to Mandalia, Jik.
自己拿过些的，然后是学的，自己个话的。其实呢，第那个自己拿过些的，当然就俺们就过的，像这个呢，年把结不结，年把结什么结没？那那块儿用土用些，那对年底为难，那些的可以点点拉松，上些买些绿松，上些点点把块儿拉些，点点泥木块，点点卡拉什么卡拉的什么没的，点那个就点那个什么个子，点那个结尾呢，点那个啥的，什么结吧？
presented here in this verse is something that we all familiar with in a coarse manner. So if we take an example that we can all relate to, and that's if when we are angry, if we are angry, let's say we're angry with someone, or whilst angry we meet someone, for sure we will be showing this in our face, so we'll have this face of rage. And then when we communicate with this person that we're either angry with or taking our bad mood out on, we will communicate with them in a harsh manner, in a way that for sure is unwanted by them. And how are they going to respond? Well, whatever mood they were in before is now definitely going to be in a mood similar to ourselves. And their facial expression is going to match ours. And so from this, very clearly conflict will come. So this is something that we know and we have experience of. And furthermore, we also know that when we walk away from that, almost no matter how it's resolved, we will walk away and we'll go back to our home, and our mind will be dominated by this conflict that we've had, and it will go around and around in our mind, and we'll struggle to think about anything else. And if we come to eat supper that night, we won't even taste the food, no matter how well it was prepared. We won't even know what we had eaten, let alone how it tasted. And when it comes to time to lie down, we'll still have this argument dominant in our mind, and we'll struggle to sleep. In the morning, when we have to get up to go to work and get on with our day's activities, we'll be exhausted, we'll wake up in a mood at least as bad as we went to bed in, and that mind will continue. And this is all going from the previous day's argument, and then this will continue to infect how we relate to and interact with others. And we won't even be able to enjoy the other interactions we have with people. And now we're tired and we're physically weak and our body's suffering. Mentally, we're not in a state that we want to be in either. So this is something that we know directly from our own experience. And so this kind of coarse understanding of is something that we have in relation to this verse here.
And then, だ、次、そういう、この散歩、先場散歩、チェジ、ミリア、アネチキ、チミンゴシンジュ、シンバイジ、ダダ、インナダ、ゴマシンバイジ、ナダ、チキ、先場散歩、チェン、ビッチキ、先場散歩、チェン、コリアチキ、ノムギュ、チェシェヨ、ドゥ、カラスナンズ、ドンギ、ノムギュ、ディア、ジュ、チキ、マスゾ、シェチェン、アネチキ、シェゴロワ、ディネチ、ノムギュ、ディネチキ、ニンジュ、シェギロワ、シェド、アネ、パジュ、ミディア、アネコ、ディギ、アンズ、先場散歩、ディギ、
되네
Whilst we have experience of this, the impact of how a mind that is dominated by the affliction, such as anger, can have this devastating impact on our mental happiness and physical health. We fortunately also have examples of the opposite as well, and we have experience of the opposite. So when our mind is in a very happy place, and it's relaxed, it's open, and we're feeling actually quite joyous and light, then whomever we meet, whether it's friends or whether it's strangers, and actually to a large degree whatever is going on in their life, in other words, whatever mood they are in, because of this happy mind that we have, this light-hearted disposition that's dominating us at that time, we will be in a good mood when we meet them, and this light-hearted mind that we have will be infectious, and we'll speak to them in a gentle manner, and they will relax, and they will joke with us, and we'll have a very pleasant encounter together. And in fact, then, whomever we meet, they'll be happy to meet us, we'll be happy to meet them, and that's because our mind is dominated by virtuous minds. And then we'll find that, of course, physically we're in a good shape, we're sleeping well, etc. And so this sequence then it should be quite clear. If our mind is dominated by virtuous minds, it's light, it's gentle, and it's loving, then whomever we meet, we will relate to them in a similar way. We'll have a facial expression that shows that we are pleased to meet them, that is engaging with them, that is present with them, and we'll speak to them in a way that's kind-hearted and gentle. And this will have a positive impact on them. And of course, from this, only good results come. So this is experience that we also have. So therefore, whatever we engage in, whether acts of body, with speech or mental activities, we need to be very aware of what's happening in our mind. Because if these afflicted minds such as desires, attachment, and anger and ignorance are dominating, then we will encounter problems upon problems. However, if our mind is dominated by virtue, by wholesome thoughts, then we will meet far, far fewer problems. So therefore, the root of what we experience is our mental state, and in other words, our motivation, the minds that we have dominant and present, and we therefore engage or act under. Now the text brings us to a well-known story about a bodhisattva who later would go on to be our founder, Buddha Shakyamuni. So in this life, he was a bodhisattva, and he was called with compassionate heart. He was a captain on a ship, and he was traveling with 500 merchants, and they were trading in jewels. Then a pirate came onto the ship, and this pirate, of course, didn't have a good motivation. And in fact, he had a particularly bad motivation. His wish was to kill all those traders on the ship so as to steal their cargo.
对，但是他们虽然给的那个特别大一点，他讲究什么？他的那个结婚时的，他的那从本从本做主些的，做什么？说那的讲究什么的嘞？讲究什么？恰当讲究什么讲究的，他的那的，他从本恰当讲究什么讲究的？嗯，你那的做的，你不你就先把些的那个可能，先来你就拉过的吃完，的那个讲究什么的，可以看吧？是，好过，他可以进控制岁月节，你再拉的可以吃过，准备给的那三五块的可以看吧？是。
So the Bodhisattva, with his clairvoyance, he knew what the motivation of this pirate was. And the Bodhisattva, compassionate heart, wasn't the only Bodhisattva on board. It turns out that all these traders happen to be Bodhisattvas. Anyway, the star of our story, the Bodhisattva called Good Heart, a compassionate heart, he was aware of the motivation of the pirate.
那今天早上，那江西省把的卡拉桑巴上，这一块的江西省把俺不觉得水坝那块的地坡还是晒个的，地坡白差不起么晒个的地坡，但水的江西省把今年水坝上，今年先水坝的地坡切下过了，江西省把水坝，江西省把水坝了趴下，江西省把水水坝身边公共计划的江西省把那一级级别的地坡切下过了，就是那他，哎，么是地坡全部刷下来，白刷下，身边的，但人家靠了白人家接。
Then the captain, the Bodhisattva, compassionate heart, aware of this action that the pirate was going to engage in, he was also aware of the huge karmic results that would follow from him murdering so many bodhisattvas. And he knew that if the pirate engaged in this act, he would be born within the hell realms and remain there for countless eons. So tremendous compassion arose in him for the suffering that was going to follow this great negative deed.
I mean, 这个都生病的，你那个的，你那个说说下话的，你说说下话呢，就是什么阿别的说他嘛，太多了。就像可能也地方有毛差的，就是他的，第一块地方有差的，你有啥想的，就是生病，你这有解决，你这有什么解决？嗯，你那东西的，就是把这个说完了，解决。
Dominated by this mind of compassion for the negative karma that the pirate was going to accumulate and the tremendous period of suffering that would follow, and not just suffering but really unimaginable suffering, the bodhisattva generated strong compassion and thought to himself, well, if I were to kill this pirate, not only would I save the lives of these 500 merchants, these 500 bodhisattvas, but I would spare this pirate from incurring this tremendously powerful negative karmic imprint. Certainly, I will create a non-virtue because I will be engaging in killing, and from this a suffering result will come. But that is okay. I can deal with that. I can handle it. I need to protect this person from inflicting so much harm upon themselves through engaging in negative deeds. So this very powerful mind of compassion arose inside the mind of the bodhisattva called compassionate heart.
That 가서래 내내게 쇠비게다 니 쇼 제반다 니 뜻게 쇠넘게 초데 빼 제치 못 사와래 제네 다진 빈네 넘유지나 니네게 로 아니 가서래 니도 와
경로스 마고
제왕아 뼈
아니야 나
준치 링라 뒤에 쇠넘 사와야기 뒤스지라 제와 준치 뒤에 쇠넘 사와야기 뒤스 쇠넘게 체로지 디갑라 쇠넘 사서
But this very powerful motivation then, this motivation that was completely lacking selfishness, but was totally, this motivation was totally dominated about being of benefit to others, then the bodhisattva killed this person. And actually, because of the power of the motivation, they accrued, as we see, a huge amount of virtue. The amount of virtue that usually would take 70,000 eons to accumulate, the bodhisattva accumulated actually through this act of killing. So from the story, you may be sitting here now with a couple of questions in mind. One may well think, so the bodhisattva who killed a human being, this is a non-virtuous act, but did this bodhisattva, with this powerful virtuous motivation, still accumulate non-virtue from this act of killing a human being? So that's one question. A second question you may well have is this pirate who was then killed, where was he born? Was he born in hell anyway? And if so, well then, what did the bodhisattva engage in this act for? Or was the pirate born somewhere else?
で、いいね、ま、気にま、かんれやからしてね、なんかで Dimasha Shatayama, Jiza, Digi Tibungal Mimbares, the Sorua, Jizadi, Dibasa Melabna, Dibamasana, Ditu Mimse Sunduas, Jizadi, Jimduas, Dibasa Duala.
Then Kondipasa Sun or Dipasaki Yosade?
My Dibasa, your Mares, Kizzi, Dibasa, your Mare Lava,
I let any honey.
Dibi Tibu Minsha, said Pigeon Aladuas, Dida Kokata Chagu Jimduas.
So with your those first doubts about whether the bodhisattva accumulated non-virtue, you may think, well, actually, because of the power of this virtuous mind, I think he probably didn't accumulate any virtue. Well, if you're thinking that, well, then we have a problem, because several pages before there was a story about how the Buddha, his leg was pierced by a thorn. And the reason that the Buddha gave for why his leg was pierced by this thorn was because of the karma that was accumulated at this point.
Jetzung
und die Passagmasson.
Alle die Tribute im Leid gelehrt.
Okay, dann ich konnte den Dachern.
Die Passava in na. Dann die Passana, dann Jansenba, Jansenbi Jobada, Tumidua, Jansenbi Jobada, Shelle Pemba Jamado, Shelle Nukin, Dio Marwa, Sedacho, die Passava, Shelle Nuki or Ruas, die Tumidua, and die Karchiorism.
But then, on the other hand, if the Bodhisattva now did accrue non-virtue at this time, this goes against what we know about Bodhisattvas, because Bodhisattvas, we know, only engage in activities that are of benefit to others. Bodhisattvas, we know, do not engage in harmful activities, and they only have beneficial motivations. So if the Bodhisattva accumulated non-virtue through this act of killing, this is contrary to what we know about Bodhisattvas, that they only engage in virtue and with good intent. So the conclusion is that no non-virtue was accumulated. And furthermore, the pirate wasn't born in hell either. So that's good news. Why do I say the outcome is that the Bodhisattva didn't accumulate any non-virtue? So this is because of the quality of the mind that the Bodhisattva has. So the Bodhisattva's mind is in general free of selfishness, but certainly at this time it was free of any kind of trace of selfishness. In fact, the mind was dominated by particularly powerful love and compassion. So therefore, not only was no negativity accrued, but a tremendous amount of virtue was accumulated. And furthermore, the Bodhisattva for himself ended up accumulating this great amount of virtue, but because Bodhisattvas act only in ways to be of benefit to others, then a beneficial rebirth came for this this killed pirate. And in fact, this pirate ended up being born in the pure land of Devachan, or Great Bliss. I think it's Tushita in Sanskrit. So the pirate ended up being born in the pure land. So this all comes from the tremendous a virtuous power of the mind of the Bodhisattva, that the mind of the Bodhisattva that is totally dominated by a powerful love and compassion and is only acting in a way that brings benefit to others. So therefore, both of them benefited from this act. To illustrate this with an illustration, if someone is in a pit of filth and they're trapped in there and they can't escape and they're covered all, up to their head in this filth, if someone comes and reaches down and pulls them out of the filth, but all they can reach is this person's ear, and then pulls them out of this pit by the ear, well, this is of course going to cause some discomfort for the person to be pulled out of a hole by their ear. And this is normally not behavior that we would engage in. But one can be sure that this person pulled out of this pool of filth and now placed somewhere clean and dry is not going to even notice the pain in their ear, and certainly even if they were, they wouldn't complain about it. They would just be immensely grateful. So therefore, this such an action would have been done by someone with a good motivation, wanting to help out this person in this filthy pool, and even put their hand down to just above all this filth, and the other person will be very pleased to be no longer stuck in such a situation. So the result for both people would be good. And similarly, with the result that came to the thief, what is called Black Spearman, so him ending up being born in Tushita. So this comes from the Bodhisattva with this good motivation and this wisdom, engaging in a way that will only bring benefit. If the Bodhisattva had ended up killing this being, but the being had just been born in suffering realms again, then quite frankly, what would the point have been? So the Bodhisattva would have acted only in a way that brings benefit to others. The Bodhisattva compassionate heart had the power to be able to send the thief, the pirate, Black Spearman, to Tushita. So because they had this power, they could engage in such an act, or not they could engage, it made sense for them to engage in such an act. Because if they didn't have the power to ensure this beneficial outcome, but the pirate Black Spearman was just born again in the lower realms and continued on in their suffering, then what's the point of acting in this way when you're not actually benefiting the sentient being you're trying to benefit? So therefore, the bodhisattva had not just the intention to, the true intention to benefit, but also had the ability to benefit. And so they had the intention to free the being from suffering, and they had the ability to help free them from suffering. Well, you probably now have another doubt. Tonight, many doubts. So you probably have the doubt that, well, if bodhisattvas and Buddhas have the ability to help in this way, well, why aren't they? Maybe I can just sit back and and wait to be sent off to the Pure Lands. For the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to be able to help beings in this way, from their side they have the intention, they have the ability, but what is dependent from our side is that we have accrued the relevant basis, in other words, the relevant karmic imprints or virtuous karmic seeds. Without these virtuous karmic seeds, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas cannot help us in this way. That is what is required. So for example, if one is trying to fish something out of a large tank, and you've just got a line and a hook, and you're casting your line in and trying to catch something and pull it out, this can be quite difficult to do. Genda said what this thing was in the water, but I don't know this word, but we get the image. So it's quite difficult to do if the basis isn't there. So similarly, for the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas to be able to help us in this way, or in any way, we need to have accumulated the virtuous seeds. So in a previous life, we need to have great faith in the teachers and engage in virtuous activities. And in this way, we would have created the concordant virtuous karmic seeds so that they are able to help us.
And in here,
Now text and gives another story, which is near the bottom of page 125. So a Brahmin in the distant past was living in the vow of celibacy in the forest. And one day he went to on his arms around to beg for food, and he went to a local village. And there a Brahmin girl fell hopelessly in love with him. And she was so smitten that she threatened that she would, not just threatened, she meant it, she threatened that she would take her life if he wouldn't marry her. Then this Brahmin, he generated great compassion for the suffering that this woman would encounter in the future if she engaged in such a negative deed of taking her own life.
The Brahman
was lover of the stars, so that's his name. He had no wish to marry. He was living within the vow of celibacy, but driven by compassion and for the suffering that this woman was going to encounter were she to commit suicide, he returned his vow of celibacy. He gave up his vow of celibacy and he married her. So he married her not out of a wish to be married, but rather so as to prevent her from engaging in this very negative deed. So he did this with this pure motivation of compassion, and thereby once again accumulated a tremendous amount of virtue, as it's said here. And then just to mention, in the text, it's translated as breaking his vow of chastity. That's mistaken. It's not talking about breaking. It's talking about giving back the vow. So that's a bit different. So what's good to be clear here is he had no motivation to seek a partner or to give up his vows, but motivated by compassion, knowing that if this woman was to kill herself with this mind of attachment, this would be a very powerful negative imprint, because she's taking the life of a human dominated by an afflicted mind of attachment. And this is a very powerful negative imprint, which leads to rebirth in the lower realms, such as the hell realms. So out of this motivation of compassion, he married her and then taught her the paths of virtue and taught her about the Dharma and the like.
Mm.
So he had the mind previously that to return his vows would create great negativity, and this is something not to be done at all. But here he's now faced with this very unusual situation, and so here he's, his mind is dominated by compassion. So whilst with this mind of compassion, he then returned his vows so as to marry this woman and prevent her from incurring this great negativity. But then once they were married, his motivation was clear that then he didn't want to act in the way of an ordinary householder, because he still had this well-developed mind, and he was rather going to help her in accordance with the teachings. So then when after they're married, he guided her in virtue and taught her how to accomplish virtue, how to meditate and the like. And so from this she progressed towards accomplishing a path. So this is something of great benefit. So here the illustration that's been given is very different from what would happen with someone who had an ordinary motivation. So if the lover of the stars, if this forest dweller, this Brahmin, if he had an ordinary motivation, he would have engaged in negative deeds, such as giving back his vows and the like. But here he didn't engage in despite giving back his vows, he didn't accrue negativities, because on one hand of the power of his motivation, this compassionate motivation, and then because of the virtuous activities that he and his wife engaged in afterwards. In other words, he taught her how to practice and the like. What we've seen with these illustrations is the person here is dominated by an avaricious mind and a mind wanting to be of benefit to others. So there's not even the thought of, oh, the virtue that I will accumulate. That thought doesn't even arise. It's just this mind that is purely dominated by thinking of others. So it's a very, very vast and expansive mind. Generally speaking, engaging in any act of killing, this is a non-virtuous act and it leads to suffering. Similarly, giving up the vows of celibacy, this is a non-virtuous act and it leads to negativities. However, as we've seen here, if it's done with a motivation of very powerful love and compassion, and with a motivation that is truly only set on being of benefit to others, then with qualities or attributes such as these, then no harm or no negative result will follow for either the that particular person who's doing the act or for the person they're engaging in to help. So for both, there will only be benefits and no harm. The opposite, of course, is true. If the motivation is mixed with one's own desire, one's own wish, the wish for oneself to gain some benefit from the situation, some profit, some advantage from the situation, then from engaging in such acts, then negativities will follow for oneself and for the other person. So when I was young, I really knew nothing about the law of karma or causality. My parents didn't teach me about this. But I knew the mantra Om Mani Padme Hum. And I was also shown that if you need to, say, kill a small bird and you break its neck, then you do this whilst reciting Om Mani Padme Hum. Being confused like this and just reciting these words, this really has no benefit and certainly doesn't protect one from harm. And Another text gives an illustration of stealing, so right at the bottom of page 125 and top of 26. So if here, if a person with this very powerful mind of love and compassion knows of someone who has great wealth, but is particularly miserly and doesn't engage in generosity at all. If a person with this very pure motivation were to take some of their wealth or their possessions, to take a small amount of that and use it to practice generosity on their behalf, such as making offerings to the three jewels or to helping people in destitution, then if they were to do that with such a motivation and understanding, then benefit would come for both them and the person that they are practicing generosity on behalf of, and no fault would be accrued, no negativity would be
accrued.
However, it needs to be said that most thieves that we hear about or may have the misfortune of encountering, they don't have such a motivation. They're engaging in these acts of deception and dishonesty only to benefit themselves and to better their own situation. So they really have a normal selfish mind and they're working for their own benefit. So that's not the kind of person we're talking about. If you're feeling a bit inspired, let me issue a word of warning. I don't think this will count as much of a defense. If you if you steal from someone who's wealthy and you want to give to the destitute, I don't think a judge will accept this explanation. So please just bear that in mind. But seriously, let's use an analogy here to illustrate this. If you have someone who has a close relationship with someone else, so this one person has this mind that is dominated by love and compassion, and they have a particularly close relationship like a parent and child would have with someone else. If they were to take a small amount from such a person, an amount that would hardly be noticed and certainly could be afforded, perhaps enough to feed someone who's really struggling, and was then to steal something of relatively low value to the one person, but of great need to someone else, then if the person whose goods have been stolen, if they were to find out, because of the value of the goods, because of the relationship they have with the other person, they're not even going to mind. They'll probably become quite joyful about what happened. So that is the kind of illustration that has been spoken about here.
Then, ね、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、ディギ、
What we've seen with the illustrations that we've looked at tonight is that whatever one engages in, here the motivation is particularly important, and in particular to turn away from this as much as we can from the selfishness that we have, thinking about our own benefit, our own good outcome, but to rather think about the benefit for others. So these illustrations that are given here are talking about beings who are greatly evolved, or greatly developed rather, so beings who are great bodhisattvas. So they have a motivation that is pure, a motivation that is dominated by minds such as love and compassion. So whatever they engage in, they do so as to be of benefit to others. And whilst good results come to them, that doesn't even feature in their motivation at all. They're just thinking about how best they can engage in a particular activity for others. And then from this, only good results come for the people they're encountering, as well as of course, for themselves as well. So what we need to take away from these stories tonight is that whatever we engage in, we should do so with this altruistic motivation, with a motivation to be of benefit to others. So whilst we're talking a lot about doing things, of course this doesn't just refer to physical acts, but when we talk to others, to engage with them in a way that is beneficial to them, to talk with them in a way with a motivation where this mind of benefit to them is dominant. So in other words, whatever we physically do, whatever we our verbal communication, to always keep it dominated, to keep it motivated by a mind thinking about benefiting others. And so all of us here, we have our plans and our hopes for the future. And we think about, oh, I hope things go like this, or I'm wanting to do this or that. So we have these, and we should now apply this way of thinking to that. So if we have a particular project we want to engage in, or we want to take embark on something, a new adventure in our lives, we should think about this in terms of what we've heard tonight. Thinking about, so how can I engage in this in a way that brings a beneficial result for others? And accompanying that, how can I engage in this so that it doesn't harm others? And if we can't see how we can engage in an activity so that it is of benefit to others and that it does not bring harm to others, then we should rather think again. We should maybe let go of this desire or this wish to engage in something and maybe put it aside until we are able to do it in a way that's of benefit to others. Rather, we should plan and ensure that whatever activity we engage in, it's done with this motivation to be of benefit to others. And if we do this, not only will we accumulate virtue for our future lives, but in this life, we will encounter less problems, we will be much happier, and those who we encounter, those who are in our circle, those that we have contact with, they will benefit from us. We will play a beneficial role in their lives. They will enjoy and appreciate our company. So benefit will come to ourselves and to others in this life and in future lives. So the tremendous benefit comes from developing our mind in this way, because what we've heard about tonight is again the great importance of the motivation behind every act of body, speech, and mind. And this is something that we all need to engage in developing. So then next week we'll And then next week we'll continue from the top of page 126, talking about lying. So we've gone through killing and sexual misconduct, and then we'll come and stealing. And so now we'll start with lying next week. So some questions.
Stealing, for example. Mm-hmm. I didn't quite get the result there. So because it was from a purely motivated person, took a small amount from a rich person and helped the poor, no negativity would be accrued. They would benefit themselves and the other person. Was the other person the one they stole from or the one they gave?
Yeah. Okay, I'll double check. As far as I understand, it was the person they stole from, but I'll double check. So in the example of stealing, if done in the way that it's mentioned here, can we just double check that the person whose goods were stolen, does benefit come to them as well? Okay. Dini Majin Limpa. Dini Kunun nan Dakpar ki wang tu tini, chan su simpe, chalakuma gyabna, dini ajumpa tangire. Dini Dini mi chupo de kong yang pendok topgerebe. So yes, the benefit comes to the person whose goods were stolen. So to give an illustration again, if, for example, our parents, we know they are very miserly, but we have a good relationship with our parents, we're close to our parents. So if we were to take something that they would consider to be of a small amount or insignificance and practice generosity on their behalf, then they would be okay with that. because of the relationship we have with them, and therefore they would possibly even rejoice in what we had done and not become annoyed. So from their side, they wouldn't have thought to engage in this way. So we did it for them, and they mentally engaged with it, like on that behalf. Okay, Cameron.
In the case of the lover of the star, the Brahmin girl seemed to be dragging them to action of the sexual misconduct,
mm-hmm.
causing another to end their vow of chastity.
Mm-hmm.
So didn't she?
Oh, good question. So yes, the Brahmin girl non-virtue because she played an active part in the in his giving up his vow of chastity. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adamse kiu karma la gavo. Deni bumo de di kari. Adamse bumo. Deni kung. Dikwa sak song yesan video. Kare yansina, nato lokiyam danta ki kola kesu segiere. Kazin lokiyam ki gyuchik, changchua kele nje kin donpa par pulye ki sena?
Puya sena.
Puya sena. Kerken ken gire ve.
Donpa lo juna. Travel road, you know, and the Colonel Dingo.
You need Bumo there.
Bumo digi, called Travel Road, you were not Digo Sagro, called Travel Road, you Marva, called Travel Loyal Marva, called Dumbo Priest, as long as Sasa didn't Kimber Sasarawa, didn't call him the Divarawa.
You need courage and a contum par pulsone, modern day, some cup secret,
hope secret. Dumbo Pugin for a travel horn or some little.
Then in modern day, Dick was like my son, Carson. Kung mena, then Kung Tarung, Changchu Chegiere.
Changchu Jigor, the Kunyum Duena, Karipando Yore Lamna, and a delay Panto Shivichungurwa, the Kurong Kurong Kurong, give you your due to Gorwa. Quote Dimajeva in a due to go, Marco Chabe Wanga Hidu or one, DJ Diva Chimbosagorwa. That modular and quote Changchu Yum Che Diva or a person, quote Changchu in a Dumbo Priya, the Quay Pudu, and called Digusa was a Kayamaro. Called Puyaro. The Puma Juba, the Lova, and the Digusayamato. Did Digusayamato.
And Gena says no. So, although she was the cause of him, or her mind, her motivation was the cause of him giving back his vows, she didn't accumulate non virtue from that. And then, furthermore, their marriage only came after his vows had been returned anyway. So Genesis now. Okay. And one more at the back. The last bit I didn't hear, if the motivation is dominated by selflessness?
Yes. Or compassion.
Or compassion, yes. So the last bit.
It's guaranteed that
the results will be good. Okay. Then, dogongi logi denso selpa hagona. Then, naso kunong yang dapa yena. Naso kunong yapo kun nam dapa lavenso. Kunong yapo yena. Then, dapa dapa yapo yongire.
Jebu takpa yakpo yungkure la, si kunlong yakpo yuebiyo, kunlong korong ki jebu di yakpo yungkure. Ina, di lega chene, gidi na, di jele yakpo chan yungkure wese na, yakpo yungpe ngeba yo maare. Yakpo mayonga digi, nang jien shanda chene yakpo mayonga chakar maato, deji kunlong sangpo digi jien chene yakpo mayonga chakar yo khai.
So with a good motivation, then the result for oneself will be good. So that's clear. With a good motivation, the result for oneself will be good. Whether the outcome of the work that one, or the activity that one's engaging, whether that turns out well, is a little less clear, because it is dependent on other conditions coming into play. So, in other words, if you engage in an activity with a good motivation, you will accrue virtue. But whether that result turns out in the way that you wish, that's not I'm entirely certain, because there are other conditions that are required that come into play with that result of your activity.
So to
give an illustration, if, for example, I'm joking with someone and having a laugh with someone, invariably they will respond to me in a similar way. So if I start teasing someone or whatever, then we'll laugh together and it will go well. But sometimes someone may take it in another way. Their mind may be in a particularly afflicted state at that moment, and they may doubt my motivation and think, oh, maybe he's trying to deceive me, maybe he's trying to cheat me, that's why he's talking to me in this way, he's being insincere and he's trying to deceive me. And they may then respond in a very different way. So this is possible, and it's possible because of other conditions that came into play on the side of that person. So in other words, that their mind was dominated by powerful afflictions. Then in such an instance, in these rare occurrences, my responsibility then is to guard my own mind and be aware that what's going on now with this person, maybe they're even accusing me of being dishonest and deceptive and the like, that is coming from their side. I know my motivation's okay. I'm not trying to take advantage of them. So I can will still stay relaxed, and I will have still accumulated virtue from engaging with someone in a positive way, even if they don't respond in a reciprocal manner. But so them not responding in a reciprocal manner is dependent on conditions outside of me, like their own mind. But then I have the responsibility to guard my mind so that I don't then get angry or whatever. Okay? Thank you. Thank you. Good night. Yeah.